Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, brother,
what's up? Hey, how you doing?
Man.
Yeah, brother,
like,
stop.
Right on.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket lines. It's fine. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Sometimes I'm on it, and sometimes I'm not so on it. In the midst of my humanity.
Okay.
I just, it's just, you know, the skin that I'm in, you know.
Right.
But I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad that, you know, that those of you who have showed up, that have called in, I appreciate you. You know, we're tomorrow's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Oh, that's what's up. Hey, yes, that's what's up. Happy early birthday. Happy early birthday to you. Yes.
I won't be here. I'll be gone.
Okay.
Out to Jamaica to be with Club Nouveau in the game, you know, hanging out with those guys.
Whoa, that's what's up, Simi. I am excited for you. You'll be in my thoughts and prayers.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. That's been a journey too within itself, but that's a whole another story. But I want to welcome you all to the Glass House evening. We appreciate you being here with us. This is the place where we allow people to just, be transparent and open without guile or judgment. You know, we don't have stones in the glass house. We just open ourselves up and we share with each other. We have some pretty interesting subjects today we're going to talk about. We're gonna get right into that. Number one, we're gonna be talking about kissing and the benefits of kissing.
Wow, that sounds interesting. Yeah. That's what's up.
Yeah, kissing is beneficial in more than just one way.
Than just two ways. Yeah, right. Yeah.
It could be three ways.
Well, it could be three ways. Yeah.
Well,
okay,
we've talked a lot about that when it comes to our show.
Right.
We've gotten some clarity on that. It's really been some good shows. Kissing and its benefits, and then what we're going to talk about, should parents be friends? I mean, can they be friends with their kids? That's one of those things where I have my own, maybe we can be friends when they're like, I'm 100 and they are like 80, something like that. I don't know if we'll ever be able to be friends like that, but we'll talk about it and see what we come up with. And last but not least is who are you when no one else is watching you? When no one else is around? I think I'm me. But, we are different people when we're by ourselves, and we want to find out about that. I found this this little piece. I think I told you about it, T. It's The Benefits of Kissing. A friend of mine.
Yes, I do remember that.
I appreciate it. I'm going to read a little bit of it. It's by a lady Dr. Mercola. I don't know the first name, but this kissing is a uniquely human trait that's said to have emerged as a way to pass germs from one person to another, ultimately building immunity. But that's rather unromantic, isn't it? While it seems plausible that kissing would have an underlying biological function, there's no denying its role in bonding or overall health. That it does. If there is something about kissing that bonds you. It says it has 8 health benefits of kissing. Wow. Really? Okay.
Wow.
Kissing.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Kissing not only feels good, it's good for you. It relieves stress and releases, endorphins? Epinephrine.
Endorphins?
Epinephrine. Into your blood. No, not endorphins.
Oh, okay. Not endorphins.
Yeah. No, it's into your blood, making it pump faster. Okay, whatever that
is.
Oh,
okay.
Pumps faster, which may result in a reduction of LDL cholesterol. Kissing may even be a novel way to receive certain hormones like testosterone. Wow. Okay, mucous membranes inside the mouth are permeable to hormones such as, testosterone. Through open mouth kissing, men introduce testosterone into a woman's mouth, absorbed through the mucous membranes, and increases arousal and the likelihood that she will engage in reproductive behavior. That's interesting. So that what she just said was like, if I kiss, you know, my woman, the saliva gives her testosterone, and that testosterone makes her, you know, horny, makes her want to get with me. Wow.
Right. That's your woman, and what happens if you get the testosterone and you're not into that person, then it doesn't go anywhere?
Well, you know, that's the thing about it. I don't know. I mean, because if all I have to do is basically spit in your mouth, I mean, pretty much.
Yeah.
But it says through open mouth kissing. You
that's
know,
right.
Through, I
mean, exactly. And then you get aroused, and then sexual activity might happen. But
right,
what if
right.
not?
Well, and let me do this disclaimer, ladies and gentlemen. Number one, we're not experts, so just know that we're not experts, and, you know, we know just about as much as you do. And you probably know more than us, so we're just feeling our way
wow.
through this. The mucous membranes inside the mouth are permeable to hormones, such as testosterone, okay? So when I kiss the woman, it allows the testosterone get into her bloodstream, and she gets excited. And so interestingly, this lady that wrote this book, author of Kissing, Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About One's Life, Sweetness, Pleasures, she believes a kiss a day can keep the doctor away. And she recently shared 8 reasons why with CNN. Number one, to reduce your blood pressure, to dilate your blood vessels, which help lower your blood pressure. Number two, it relieves cramps and headaches, kissing. See, the blood vessel dilation effect described above also helps to relieve pain, particularly from headache or menstrual cramps. Number three, fights cavities. When you kiss, saliva production increases in your mouth.
Wow.
That means it starts watering. And this
mm-hmm.
helps to wash away plaque on your teeth that may lead to cavities.
Mm.
That's it. Cavity-causing bacteria can also be transmitted via a kiss, especially if the person you're kissing has poor oral habits. Oh, my goodness, no. God forbid. That means she doesn't brush her teeth or, you know, poor oral habit. It says
exactly.
It's even been shown, yeah, that cavity-causing bacteria can spread from a mother's kiss to her baby. Wow. Hold up. So, you know, the saliva
mm-hmm.
actually has something in it that can kill the bacteria in another person's mouth. Ooh. I've never known that. I'm going to be honest with you. Number four, it releases your happy hormones.
Oh, that's interesting.
It prompts your brain to release the happy elixir of feel-good chemicals like serotonin, dopamine, and oxytocin. Wow, okay, oxytocin. Okay, this isn't only important for your happiness, it also may It also may also help to strengthen your relationship. Wow. This oxytocin, wow, is the hormone of love. Oh, you know, they had that oxytocin, you know, the pills that people were taking.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And they were getting hooked on
them. They were getting,
and
yeah,
so
and they were coming up. Right.
So that's actually a hormone.
Right.
And so the levels, you know, it raises the levels, you know, and it brings more of a capacity for love, explains this psychotherapist, you know, of the author of Biology of Love and the director of the Primal Center in Santa Monica, California. He said, we have found that those who cannot commit in a love relationship are low in oxytocin. Wow.
Wow.
And interestingly, I know, huh? Kissing activates the same areas in your brain linked to reward and addiction. Wow. So you can get addicted to kissing, according to the researchers who revealed this finding. It says kissing may have evolved as a way to stimulate your brain system associated with sex drive, romantic love, and attachment, so that humans are triggered to seek a variety of potential mates, then focus on one for mating, and finally be able to tolerate that mate long enough to raise a child as a teen. Your lips are also densely packed with sensory neurons stimulated by the touch of another's lips. This prompts the release of sebum, which is thought to play a role in bonding. Wow. It burns calories, number 5.
Wow.
It's not going to replace your workout session, but a vigorous kiss may burn 8 to 16 calories. Not too shabby for
wow.
a But how are you kissing when you burn calories? I mean, what are you doing in the process of that, I may ask?
I mean, you're moving your body around and your face and your neck and your head and your hands and your, you know, you're just moving around and stretching. You're stretching.
Well, it goes on to say it. Yeah, I mean, you know, it boosts your self-esteem. One study found out that men who received a passionate kiss before they left for work earned more money. And this suggests that the kiss, you know, I need to be kissed every single day. I mean,
Okay.
And perhaps the happy home life, it suggests. It makes people happier, it boosts self-esteem, and ultimately more productive at work. And 7, it tones your facial muscles. And like you said, you were right. A vigorous kiss helps to shape up your neck and jaw line by working out a number of facial muscles. Wow. But how are you kissing like that to where you're putting in that much? I mean, you know, I mean, I know. Have you ever kissed anybody that, you know, when you kissed them, it just wasn't right?
Definitely. I've had those not too good kisses that just wasn't right. The do-overs that need do-overs and do-overs and more do-overs.
Because sometimes a kiss can be a deal-breaker, can it? I mean, I mean, some people, they take their tongue and they just stick it straight in, like, you know, it's not soft, you know, it's not even.
Right.
How about the ones that take their mouth and just put it all over your mouth, you know, and your nose,
thank you.
And after you finish, your nose is wet. You know, cigarette smoke or, you know, didn't brush or take a mint before, you know. But these guys are saying that a kiss is good for you. They're saying that, you know, the saliva, and this is another thing, saliva is saliva when it's in your mouth, but the minute that it leaves your mouth, it turns into spit, and that's yucky.
People didn't know that.
They say, God. But we kiss each other in the mouth. But, if you're talking to somebody, or say like your significant other, and you're talking and you say something and it spit on them, they jump back. Ooh, you spit on me. But then it's okay if I, put my mouth on your mouth and put my tongue in your mouth and kiss you. But that's saliva. It's just different to me. I've always liked kissing, though, really. Do you think more men enjoy kissing than women, or do more women enjoy kissing than men?
I think that more women enjoy kissing than men.
Mm-hmm.
It's emotional, it's passionate, it's sultry, it's sexual, it's just all those things that we're just ready to explode out if it's the right guy and the right kiss and the right one. You know what I'm saying? With me, kissing is a make it or break it thing. If you can't kiss, then I really am not sure if I can feel like I want to be the kissing teacher.
Right. So when did you experience your first kiss, if I may ask?
I mean, I was at a dance. So I was at a dance, and it was like over in the corner. I'm still like blushing about it now because I can envision it and how it happened and, the song and everything. So it was when I was in my teens. So, it was a real, kiss with more, like you said. With more of the facial muscles getting moved and more of the body parts. I was burning calories, okay?
You know what, this is what I think, T. I think that, I think that everyone should somehow remember their first kiss. I think that that's something that, you just never should forget.
Yeah, that's true.
Because where do you practice at? You practice when I might have been about 11. No, I could say that. Shoot. About 12, 13, She was a little bit older than I was.
Okay.
And she had more experience than me. And, she could really kiss. And she kissed really good. She taught me how to kiss. And, I carried that experience with me. And it seemed like that... I got pretty good at it. But, it's amazing what, they say the average person spends more than 20,000 minutes of their life kissing. And, for a very good reason, kissing 10 and for a very good reason. In addition to the benefits above that we just got through talking about, kissing has been shown to boost your immune system and reduce allergic responses in people with skin or nasal allergies. I've been having a problem with my allergies this year. Oh, my goodness.
Well, while you go to the islands, you get them all cleaned out. Everything's going to get all cleaned out, and you can come back all flushed out and fresh and new.
I think they're talking more about, kissing, so I think I might have to spend time over there kissing. But it says a separate research also revealed that people who spent 6 weeks making kissing a priority with their partners reported significant decreases in their level of stress. In addition to improvements in stress, the kissing participant also reported greater relationship satisfaction and improvement in total cholesterol. And it says there may actually be even more primal reasons for why kissing developed. However, because of subcultures, they don't include kissing in their mating rituals. It's possible that the first kiss, they said, was given by a mother to her child rather than being shared between a couple. Psychologists conjecture that kiss feeding, exchanging pre-masticated food from one mouth to another was how babies received their nutrients. You know how the mother would chew up the food. I think I remember that growing up. you know, as a kid, you know, when I was getting fed, you know, when they were weaning me from the bottle, you know, they would take the food and chew it up, and
it
jump starts the digestion process and makes vitamins like B12 more easily absorbed, while also promoting attachment and bonding. Wow. Taking kissing to the next level, of course, sex is a healthy thing too. Kissing can also be a prelude to sex, which has many of the same health benefits as kissing, magnified. And men and women tend to regard kissing in this realm differently, men being more likely to initiate kissing before sex. Wow. And you know why? You know why they say that, T? Because the guys, we kiss because we want to we want to make love. That's why we kiss.
Right. Plain and simple, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, a kiss for us is just like, good as sex.
Right. Wow.
It's about that and the penetration part.
Yeah. So, you know, folks, I mean, you know, they say women use the intensity and frequency of kissing to evaluate a man's suitability. You know, for a short-term relationship, as well as judging the potential of a short-term relationship in evolving into a long-term relationship. Men use kissing in short-term relationships to increase the likelihood of just having sex. Wow.
Interesting. That is interesting.
You know, it's a form of exercise. It's a pain reliever.
Right.
You know, it says, one study says sexual activity releases pain-reducing hormones that have been found to help reduce or block back and leg pain, as well as pain from menstrual cramps, arthritis, and headache. One study even found out that sexual activity can lead to partial or complete relief of a headache in some migraine and cluster headache patients. That we do know. Okay. Kissing. Interesting. I've never been much of a kisser. I'm not gonna say that, but not really, you know. I'm a pretty good kisser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what if you meet a guy and you know he doesn't like to kiss?
You try and schmooze him over to your side and see if maybe there's other things that you can do to help him make you want to. Maybe kiss more or make him or ask him why he doesn't like to kiss. There might be a thing. Maybe he feels like he can't kiss, and maybe by you teaching him, there's just a little snafu, and then there you go. You got you a kisser.
Yeah. Because I had a really good friend. He just wasn't into that, you know, period. You know, I said, really? Nah.
It's too personal for some.
Well, I mean, I think so. I think it is for some. I mean, is it necessary for a relationship? I don't know. I mean, you know, do people feel that it's, you know, if you don't kiss or, I mean, like, you know, you can, I like, to, you know, I kiss on the forehead, I kiss you on the cheek, you know, I kiss you on, you know, but you know, kissing just to be kissing, I don't know. I mean, I did a lot of that in high school. But I just don't know about, you know. And, you know, they put a lot of emphasis on kissing back in the day. It was like, it was like almost sex, man. You know, what you doing kissing them boys? You kissing them girls? You know.
Okay.
They acted like it was sex, and it was just a kiss. Is kissing a bad thing, growing up? You know, do you tell, you know, when you growing up, I mean, how old should you be when you kiss?
I think, and what type of kiss, you know what I'm saying? Because there's pecks, and then there's, you know, then there's smooches, and then there's kisses.
That's interesting.
You know, kisses are different,
and,
you know, smooches are different, and, you know, pecks are different.
So if you were with somebody and they went out on a date, right, And they said, you know, I went out on this date and I, you know, I didn't have sex, but I did kiss them goodbye. What would you, is that enough to, you know, is that like with a person, would you get angry over that? Would it be like?
I wouldn't get angry over that. I'd be like, that's a little vague. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean they kissed the person goodnight and that's all they got? But what type of kiss? Was it a peck? Was it, or was it some, you know, some,
well,
you know, because when
you know, you press up against, yeah, you kiss them in the mouth, you know.
Okay, so they had some fondling. So they had not only kissing, but they had some fondling, and so that takes more into it. They might have got something out of it as much as they wanted out of the situation at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
because,
they did their thing.
If it does, because kissing does a lot.
It does a lot.
It does a lot. It does a lot. I mean, from my experience, I just know that a lot of females, they love to kiss. And I think guys do it just like they said to just, you know, seal the deal. I don't think it's so much that, we, you know, the guys really need to just kiss.
I don't think that they follow through with it, Simi. I don't think that they follow through with it from beginning to end. I don't think that they might start the kissing off in the beginning to court you and everything, but I don't think they follow it through until the full act is over. You know what I'm saying? Of maybe down to getting to the skivvies, down to being in bed together. I don't think men are into kissing all the way down through the whole act as the women would love it to be.
So you're saying that you don't think that men are into the act of kissing? You know, like, you know, is it that women just want to kiss just, like, in the middle of the day?
No,
like,
not
you know,
just in the middle of the day,
Saturday,
but, you know. It depends when you walk by. Maybe it might be something that makes my, the hair on my neck stand up, and I would just want to kiss you. You know what I'm saying? It might be, you know, late at night when I roll over in the bed and you're sleeping and I look and I see an eyelash on your face and I just want to tongue you down because that's just so sexy. Or it might be in the morning when you're leaving for work and I just want to give you a a nice little peck and say, hey, baby, have a good day.
Right. But they're saying that, you know, a kiss, you know, like a passionate kiss every morning with your mate, it's like a motivator for them to go out there and put some work in, you know?
Yeah,
because,
you know, they know what they got when
they're
coming home. They might get some more smooching.
Is it the smooches or is it the other, the cooches? You know,
I was just cleaning it up to say smooches, but they probably get some more loving and a deeper type of loving.
I'm thinking that it's, you know, the kiss, I mean, I think that it's just almost like a tease for the guy, you know, all right, baby, you're getting ready to go to work, I'm going to give you a kiss, and, you know, it's a passionate kiss. So he doesn't have time to do anything because he has to get to work. But if they do this passionate kiss, it's going to be like, man, I might be late, you know what I mean? You know, she's getting riled up, he's getting riled up. So,
right.
I don't know how clear they were. I mean, if they weren't that clear on the description of the kiss. They said that a kiss every morning helps your mate go out and work, you know, and make money and earn money. You know, they get excited about going out there into the world. But I don't think that it's just the kiss alone. That's just my take.
No, I think that you're kind of, you know, shirking the idea of the whole love thing and the whole, like, hey, baby, kiss, have a great day, and, you know, you looking at what you're looking at, when what you're going to come home to, you give a nice little kiss, and that brings you home, too, to come back and want to do exactly what you were thinking when you left to go but weren't able to do. So it could be just it could be just a little peck, and then sometimes it might go a little further, and maybe you might have to be a little late for work. But those are sometimes, and those are compromises that must be made.
Wow. You know, it's just, you know, I mean, you know, because, you know, we need to know specifics. I can see, you know, what would motivate me is the idea of knowing that, you know, if I go out there, I got something I'm coming back to, or she sent me out there, you know, with something besides a kiss. But, you know, who am I? I really don't have no idea of what that means, you know, so far as just, I mean, I just don't see it just being a kiss, you know. It just doesn't seem like a kiss is just going to do it. Now, I can understand the arousal, you know, how a kiss can, you know, arouse a person, but I don't just see how a kiss can motivate a person to just go to, you know, to go to work and then make them work harder. And
what? If you can see an arousal, you can't see somebody motivated to get up and to go to work, but you can see a motivated penis rise?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Are you joking? I agree. And somebody, please call and say Simi B is not correct.
Don't press the one, please. You won, T. Okay.
I don't test, Harry. Do you not see that? Can you say that you can't, you know, turn over and then something makes you rise and it makes you want to, you know, you got to get up and get out and get something. Don't let the days of your life pass you by. I was about to go into a thing, but you know what I'm saying? You know, you got to look at what you got and then you kiss that and then you kiss that again once you leave the door. You know what I'm saying? So you get a couple extra kisses in.
Okay. Okay.
Somebody needs
That's
to push
good.
The wine. Yeah.
Okay. No, please. I mean, you know, not right now. Because I don't want to, you know, I'm probably wrong. And I wouldn't doubt that. There you have it. I mean, you know, guys kiss more. Ladies love it. And, you know, you'll be motivated to go to work. Thank you very much. That's kissing.
Some of you.
Like,
yeah.
Something like that. I want to start off with this. I have a special guest with me today. Things happen so incredible. Especially with this show. I don't know. It's just that some things, you know, like when I needed a guest, I'd have a guest. And I wasn't really looking for a guest, but this is something that I was sent a text message. And it was a mass text message. And, you know, it was so powerful and so open and so transparent, you know, that blew me away. You know, T, how you just, when you look at yourself, really look at yourself and you really evaluate who you are. One of the topics that we picked for today is who are you when no one else is around you? Who are you when no one else is looking at you? Sometimes That's difficult a lot of times.
Right.
It's not an easy task.
Right.
Because, you know, we are two different people. I mean, we're different people when we're out there. I want this young lady. She's an author. She is a very radiant personality. She's from Atlanta, and I mean, I literally stumbled up on this. Now, if you remember, T, we had talked about this topic earlier on during the week, And she sent me this text message. Tammy, are you there?
Yes. Hi. Hi, Lady T.
Hey, how are you? Say hello to Lady T.
How are you?
Good, I'm good. Hi, everybody.
Hello, hello. I want you to share with our listeners what you wrote in your text message, and then I'm gonna give you a chance to, you know, tell the people what you do with your book and everything like that. But it was just so powerful. Now, and remember, ladies and gentlemen, it's who are you when no one else is looking around. So would you share that with us, please?
Right. Well, you know, I'm all about For Yourself. That's the name of my book. And I think that yourself encompasses a lot of things. And one of the biggest things is looking in the mirror. And I don't mean just looking in the mirror. I mean looking deep within yourself, because people can always tell you what's wrong, but until you see it yourself, you can never really comprehend and fix and try to fix yourself. So today, I started a fast yesterday, and that's really what kind of started all of this. I started a 21-day Daniel fast, and when you supposed to be fasting and praying, and, you know, it's just some things about myself that I was able to see a little bit more clearly, you know, as I'm going through this process. And I sent out this mass text, and Timmy was one of the people that was on the text, but the text just said basically, please don't respond. This is a group message to people that I care about. It's all about confession and responsibility. The reason that I act the way I do sometimes is because I'm spoiled. I want what I want when I want it, and no one can tell me no. No one tells me no, or I can't have what I want. I know that sounds selfish, but anyone that knows me knows that I'm the most selfless person in the world. But I also think that makes me feel more deserving of whatever I want. This is an area in my life that I need to pray about and work on, because I can become a mean and spiteful person when I don't get what I want. So it's nothing personal against the person that's not giving it to me. It's my own flaw that I need to conquer. And please don't tell me that you're going to give me what I want and renege or go back on your word to me, because that opens up a whole new can of worms. I can't believe that I finally can admit this is a problem in my life, but I'm happy that I'm not in denial about it anymore, so that I can free myself of it and I can truly try and think, wow, this is big for me. Y'all better try it. This fasting and praying is something else. Then I went on to say, however, I know that I'm good to everyone in my life, so I realize that I deserve the same in return. I encourage everyone to reach, to take a look in the mirror, do a little soul searching, take inventory of your flaws, and take responsibility to become better. This is a part of growth, maturity, constant evolving that we all need to do to become our best selves and to reach God's destiny for our life. Peace and blessings to all.
Wow.
I know, huh? When
That was very, 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 very opening.
And I have been Facebook friends ever since I've been on Facebook. She was one of my first Facebook friends in 2009-10. You know, and we maintained, you know, a friendship over the internet. And, you know, I've watched her growth. She's watched my growth. She's watched, you know, things that I've gone through along the way. And I've watched her literally speak into existence and bring into existence a book. And she has a wonderful story. She that you know, a book, a couple of books. What is the book about? Free Yourself.
Well, again, the title of both books is Free Yourself. The first book was kind of a tribute to my hometown, but it actually, you know, talks about a lot of different stories that people can relate to about freeing themselves and, you know, in their lives and their relationships with God. And then the second book was like a golden perspective. You know, kind of all of us want to live in that golden perspective of life. And so I think that I've reached a lot of people because I have a testimony, you know. I mean, when you've been tested, you have a testimony, you know. And I've been through a lot in my life, and I think that a lot of people can relate to that. And this is just another piece of me evolving. That text today was another piece. It took a lot for me to send that text, you know, it was important for me to be transparent, you know, because I unfortunately, because I am an author, and because, and not everybody, but some people that don't really know me, that don't really, really know me, they look at me as this perfect person. I'm just as broken as the next person. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get my healing. I'm trying to still free myself. I'm still a work in progress. And so I wanted to send that text to people that I thought were close to me so they can understand that, you know what, I'm flawed too. You know, all of us are a work in progress. None of us are perfect. So, you know, we just do the best we can, you know.
Yeah, you know, and when I told you, I mean, when I read it, because, like, I asked you a long time ago, you know, when you first released your book and had all that, but you were really busy back then, you know, to come on the show. And,
okay.
But, I mean, I have no intentions of, you know, calling you or anything like that. What I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, it takes a lot of courage to open yourself up and look on the inside of you. It takes a lot of courage to look in the mirror and be honest with yourself. And, you know, so many people want to lie to themselves about who they are because they don't want to hear anything bad said. And everything has to be right. Everything has to
and
be
perfect. And then you're afraid of judgment, too. You know, you're afraid of people judging you. And that's why I didn't really matter. It's funny because I think I told you that I inadvertently sent that to a person that wasn't supposed to be on the text. And I told you
right.
I got back. Sometimes it's not what you give out to people. You can give the most positive thing and most positive words to people. You give your people the best of you. But if their mind ain't right, if they're not ready to receive it, if their spirit is already negative, they can never receive that. You know what I'm saying? Like the way you saw that text and you called me and you was like, we got to talk about that. You know, we got to talk about who are you when no one else is looking. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And several other people reached out to me as well, but it's just one person that you weren't even supposed to be on the text, but you have something negative to say, you know?
Wow.
Well, you know, he had the same name as a woman. Now, whatever name you want to use, they had the same name as a woman, okay? And it accidentally was sent to him. And so when he received the text, he actually attacked Tammy.
Wow.
And it was like in a very negative way.
That is not.
And, you know, that's what happens when light shines, because it exposes. And sometimes when you are so transparent, because we're all reflections of one another. And so when you become transparent, and it's not the eloquency of words, it's just what you say from your heart, and it touches people's hearts, man. I was sitting in the bed, man, and I was reading this text. It takes courage to do that, to open yourself up. You know, what is it that you're not good at? What is it that you need help with? What areas do you need to be, improve?
Yeah. It's easy for us to explain what
it's a difficult thing. Yeah. It's hard for people to do that. We put on facades. You know, we wear different jackets. We become different people. You know, okay, when I go to work, I'm a different guy. You know? When I'm at home with the kids, am I the same guy? When I go to church, I'm a different guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, am I the same person? Are we ever who we really are and who we really, you know, what's manifested? It's when nobody else is around. That's why when you're by yourself. I mean, you know, when you're by yourself. That's why prayer and meditation is an important factor. You know, where's your mind at? You know, like the old folks used to say, the out of mind is the devil's workshop. I mean, you know.
That's right.
Okay. Exactly.
Because what I find, and I think, I like to say this, and I think that I am. I like to say that I'm a pretty open person.
I can say that you have been such an inspiration to me. I have to hate to cut you off, but I have to put that out there because, you know, since we've been Facebook friends, it's been probably, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years. It's been a while. I know it's before I wrote any books. And and you've always had such positive energy. You know, you're always, you know, just enlightening and inspiring and motivating. And, you know, and it's that thing about you, that thing that draws us to each other. You know, and that's nothing but God's light, you know, because that God's light you can't dim. You can't turn it down. You can't, you know, it just shines. You know, you just cannot, you know, you can't extinguish it, you know. So you have been really an inspiration to me.
And you as well. I appreciate that. But, you know, I go on my rants, too. I mean, I really have. I've gone on my rants. I've gone, you know, in places where people were like, huh? What is he talking about? But when I first got on Facebook, it was a platform for me to express what was going on inside of me.
That's
why
exactly
belittle a person that would get on Facebook and say, I'm hurting, I'm sick of life, and I can't stand my brother. You know why?
Right.
And then you got these people say, Facebook is not the place to air out your dirty laundry. Since when did you become the Facebook police? Now, don't get me
right.
wrong.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. But since when did it, where's that a rule at on Facebook? Now, if it offends you, what do? You delete them. You block them.
Right.
But people are saying something. You know, when they express themselves, it takes a lot of courage, whether you're writing it down or saying it to a person. And at least they real.
Well,
or at least they sound like they real.
I think that's what's missing, you know, in a lot of the young folks today is courage. They don't feel like they have to have any. You know what I mean? It doesn't take anything to snap a selfie of your naked behind and put it on Facebook, you know,
exactly.
Or put it on Instagram. You know, it takes nothing to do that. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to have any intelligence to do with it. You know, so it's missing. You know, it's so much missing with our young people today. And that's, you know, my goal is just trying to if I could reach one person. You know, even when I first wrote the first book, I said, if I just reach one person, I'm happy. You know, if one person can read my book and say, wow, I really got something out of that. It's a blessing to me, and God has opened up the floodgates of people who have really read my book and gotten some out of it positive, and that's what it's all about.
Where would they be able to get this book? Because I think that, you know, it's something that they would really, really enjoy. You have an incredible life. Your life is just, I mean, you know, I know a little bit about it and how you were raised by your grandmother, and, you know, just it's just an incredible, you have an incredible story. And you're just an inspiration to women, as well as men.
Wow.
I mean, you know, and you've been through something. You're not, you know, you've been through the fire.
Right.
You know, you've been through the fire.
And that's, that's what I say. When I try to talk to women and talk about my speech, because as you know, I just did a women's empowerment event on June 20th, and then I had my event in May. But you know, I talk about it. At first, when I first wrote the first book, I was a little embarrassed to talk about being raped and being molested, you know, and I won't get emotional, but being raped and molested and you know, and doing drugs and everything. And I didn't want to talk about that in the first book, but God compelled me to talk about it more in-depthly in my second book and when I talk to people, you know, because people need to see that you've been through something. You know, they need to understand that, you know, you might see my glory, but you don't know my story. Because
exactly.
I have been through hell, and I just didn't stop. I just kept going. And if God did it for me, he can do it for you. He will do it for you.
Absolutely.
But my website is www.TammyReginaCarter.com. So www.TammyReginaCarter.com.
Okay. And you can pick that up at Amazon?
Amazon, www, you know Amazon already, and then just search Tammy Carter for yourself. You can do a Google search and find it out there anywhere. Just Tammy Carter for yourself, author from South Georgia, anything like that. So pretty
nice,
easy to find.
Nice. And so, you know, this is something, I mean, that this is the first time you ever revealed this to me. I mean, not that you, you know, you ever, you know, portrayed anything that was above anything. You know, I mean, you were always down to earth, very, you know, easy to talk to, but I never knew. I never knew. And it takes, you know, it takes a lot for a person. And, you know, everybody out there, you all have a book to write, if you will.
Absolutely.
Do you know
Absolutely.
How much of an accomplishment that is when you go out and you write a book? I have a book to write. You know, we all have something in our lives. Don't never think that your life is not good enough to talk or write about, because your life is something that has happened in your life that will be able to, you'll be able to touch something. You'll be able to touch thousands of people out there, and your book will help someone. All you have to do is take, you know, just do what you need to do and get it done. But, you know, because that's been one of my things, you know, because, I mean, a lot of people know what I've been through, but, you know, to write it down and to literally, you know, say it, that, how was it when you were there a lot of tears? Was it, you know, was it fear? Was it excitement? What was going on when you started writing this book, you know, for yourself?
Yeah, how was your emotional state?
You know, what's funny is when I first started to write the book, the first time I had the thought to write it was 5 years ago. And I was like you, Sammy. I was writing stuff on Facebook and, you know, trying to inspire people and talk to people. And people would hit me up on the inbox, girl, you need to write a book. You need to write a book. And I'm thinking like, yeah, right. You know, didn't know where to start. You know, I was going through trouble in my life, of course. You know, we all go through things. And I was just broken. You know, I really was broken, you know. So I had to try and fix myself, you know, for lack of a better term. I'm not a psychiatrist, but the writing became therapeutic to me. So when I would write, I would start to feel better, you know, about everything that I had gone through in my life. Because, you know, someone like me who, you know, grew up in the projects and, you know, had to be, didn't see a lot of greatness around me. You know, when you don't grow up seeing a lot of greatness, you have a whole lot of doubt that you can be great. So I just endured everything I had to, you know, I knew that God had a calling on my life. Like some people say, you know, you get up there and you're talking through your books, it's a ministry. And to me, I couldn't understand that because I always make sure I tell people I am not a minister. I don't profess to be, but, you know, people have told me, but that's a ministry. When you are ministering to people and people are taking your words and they're, you know, they're internalizing them and they're taking something from it, you're ministering to them. But I didn't really realize that until recently. So when I tell my story, when I tell about being raped and molested and, you know, and all of that stuff, you know, it does sometimes keep, it does make me emotional. So I know that that doesn't mean that I'm weak. That doesn't mean that I'm not still broken. It just means that I'm still healing, you know, and I'm probably always going to be healing from that because I don't know who can say, this is like somebody being an alcoholic or whatever, they're saying they're always recovering. So I'm always recovering from being raped. I'm always recovering from being molested. I'm always recovering everything. So
have you found that, you know, being able to tell this, Has it really helped you a lot, you know, so far as with strength and, you know, I mean, you know, we always know, you know you're helping people, but I'm talking about you and your personal things that you've been through. What has it really done for you? And what does it do for you knowing that you have this book, you know, ready for people and available for them to read?
You know, it absolutely does everything for me. It's a part of my healing process. This is what I need to heal, is I need to try and help other people heal. That's the only way I know. You know, old lady once told me, if you want to encourage yourself, encourage other people. And so, you know, I look at a lot of people that have been through what I have been through. They weren't able to come through it. They're still so broken that they're out there walking the streets, or they're out there sleeping under a bridge, or they're out there on drugs right now because of what they've gone through in their life. So, you know, if I can inspire one person to say, you know what, I'm stronger than that. Hey, let me have the courage and the strength to overcome, you know, because, you know, the Bible says that, you know, you overcome by your testimony. And so that's why I started to give my testimony, even though I was afraid to give it because I was afraid the way people would look at me. I'm going to be honest with you. I worked in corporate America, you know, and so I've had reservations for years telling this story about being molested and on drugs, all that. I didn't want to tell that story because I didn't know how the people that I worked with every day in my office was going to look at me. I was afraid. Mm-hmm. I was immobilized by the spirit of fear, but I'm not anymore. Because I realize that a job is a resource. It's not the source. God is my source.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so, you know, a lot of times this fear, because, you know, people do. Let's face it. You know, when you've gone through something in your life that has been devastating, okay, they look at you, sometimes they look at you with pity. You know, I think that's one of the worst feelings in the world. I remember as a child, I lost my parents, my mother, when I was 15 years old. I lost my mother when I was 15. And
yeah,
I lost
you
my
know,
father
yeah.
2 years later. And if somebody put yourself on, I hear some sound in the background. It sounds like it's water or something. Okay, and one thing I always hated about that, you know, because everybody, you know, the look in people's eyes would be of pity. Aw, mm-hmm. Poor boy. And I really hated that feeling. I hated the fact that people looked at me in pity and disgust, you know. Instead of, you know, like, hey, man, you're going to be all right, you know, and I'm glad that you know, you're doing good, you know, you're doing great. And so, you know, people judge you on, you know, like, you know, if you've been through things, you know, if you were raised on the other side of the railroad tracks, you know, people, they look at that. But when you are able to open yourself up, because, see, every one of us potential to be something great. And it mm-hmm. takes persistence. We're going to talk about that when we come back. And Tammy, hang around if you can. I know it's late for you, but hang around if you can, because I want you to, you know, share a little bit more. And you're here in the Glass House with Lady T. Spence and Simi Braxton. We'll be right back.
Baby, I love the way you feel. Everyone.
from his album, Love Lounge 505, my very dear brother and friend for life, over 35 years, may he rest in peace. But his music will live on forever. And you can pick it up at iTunes and download it. And the album is hot. And that's also my theme song. We got here a little late, so it didn't come up, and I didn't get it up. But I had to play it because I had to hear it. Well, thank you very much for being. Welcome back to the Glass House. We were talking to a very extraordinary young lady, Lady T and myself. We were talking about transparency and the willingness to be able to, you know, allow yourself to open yourself up. You know, we find that the more transparent, people can trust you when you're just honest. And I'm not just saying that in the sense of, you know, just being, not a fibber or a liar. I'm just saying just being honest about who you are. A lot of times, you know, I say this all the time. I've never been a good liar. I can't lie. I'm not good at it. I'm just not good at it. And, you know, I was always raised to be transparent, to be who I am. And I understand the difficulty that some people have growing up, you know, with different struggles. Because this world is cruel. We got some cruel people out here, man. They cruel. They wrong. You know, but I mean, what is it about? Is there anything, and this is to my callers, is there something that you can say? And I know it's difficult, but what is it to share here in the Glass House about yourself that people may not know about you? That, well, quite frankly, it's really not that good. Now, you know, I'm going to make it easy because, and you only have to say one thing. Share one thing that you have that, you know, because what happens when you share this, that's the beginning of strengthening yourself in that area. And so I'm going to start it off, and I'm going to be brief, but I'm going to be thorough. And then, Lady T, I want you to come behind me, and you can call us if you called in. The number is 347-205-9366, and press the 1 when you want to talk. And I just want to see how transparent we can become. See, and understand this: it's not just telling your business.
Right.
What you need to really understand is when you share something like this about yourself, it's not just about yourself. Because I guarantee you there's somebody out there that really has the same situation.
Exactly.
So,
and you've touched
them. Understand that you're helping someone. Everybody that I see on the board, just press the 1 and share. You know, but if you don't, that's fine. But this is the Glass House, and what we want, this is our hope and dream. This is our dream, to make this the place. This will be the place where you can come and you can share and you can open yourself up. Or you can just sit and listen. But if you need to say it, you'll be able to say it. Okay, so now, me being raised an only child, I had many things that I could do, you know, so far as talent. Well, I played football, I was an athlete growing up, and, you know, I did music, and, you know, that was something that, you know, I was pretty natural in. But, you know, when it came to, you know, like school and math, not just math, but, you know, if I didn't like it, if it didn't keep my attention, I would just wander off. And I would wander off in such a way to where my attention would be nowhere near the class. I'd be, you know, the teacher's mouth would just be opening, you know. And it was difficult for me. But I had support. I had help. But it was something that, you know, it followed me, you know, because, you know, what they call, I guess they call it ADD, ADHD or whatever. That's what I had. And that was it was a real thing. And I was on medication as a kid. Hmm. And, you know, it was embarrassing for me to be on that medication because, you know, I didn't want, you know, first of all, I hated it.
Right.
And then second of all, you know, my family, they didn't want nobody to know.
Right.
I think I shared this before when, you know, my grandmother told me, if anybody asks you what type of medication you're having, you just tell them you're growing too fast. It's for your growing. You're growing too fast.
Wow.
God bless her. And, you know, what I found out that was I had to read things over and over and over again in order to get it. And so that was something that it bothered me. And you know, because I would just not have the attention. It wouldn't keep my attention. I would fall asleep. And in turn, you know, it affected me so far as with tests, I would get the biggest anxiety attacks when it came to tests. And I just couldn't, you know, it was something that I really had a problem with. You know, growing up, I had, you know, people would talk about me. You know, my mother was a minister of music at church, and my father, he was a, you know, what I call a preaching deacon, and then my grandmother, she was one of the mothers of the church. My father was a preacher. My grandfather was a preacher. And, you know, most of the time I spent a lot of time in, you know, the organization of the building. But I got a lot of verbal scorn. And they would, you know, the older kids would, you know, they would talk about me. They would talk about me bad, man. You know, sometimes, you know, the older kids would beat me up and make me
talk
cry.
About what?
Even adults. Huh?
I said talk about, I mean, what? Was it a specific event, but, or was it just
they were just
every...
mean. They were just mean and jealous.
They were just
they
being
were
mean
and, pick... and jealous.
Right.
They were mean. Mean. It hurt me. I had one guy that would he would act like he was playing with me, and he would be tickling me, and he would tickle me so hard that he would make me cry, and that bothered me, and it hurt me. And I saw him one day after I had gotten grown. At the cemetery, because I was working at the cemetery at the time. And I looked at him and I said, you know what? I said, I remember what you used to do to me. He was a big Marine, one of my uncle's friends. And he looked at me with that mean look he used to look at me with. And I just looked at him and I said, you know, I remember. And I didn't say nothing. I didn't curse him. I didn't do anything. But I said, I remember. With a smile on my face. And he did too. But it affected me. And what it taught me was to never, ever bully anybody in my life. And I never was a bully. And if I was talking about somebody, and I saw that it would make them cry or it was going too far, I'd stop. That's just one thing in the glass house of my transparency. It hurts.
Yeah.
You know.
It definitely seems like, I mean, definitely. I mean, these were your, like, your teen years. So these were your growing into your manhood years. So you didn't have anybody to guide that.
Well, you know, my parents, they were, you know, I mean, I was a late in life child, okay?
Right.
It's my birthday. Oh, my goodness. You know, I was a late in life child. I was born, you know, my father was 58. My mother was in her 40s. She was 40, 39, something like that. Yeah. She wasn't quite 40. And so in 61, that was, you know, unheard of. They didn't have the thing where they stick the needle in and check to see if the fluid was cool. They didn't know what I was going to be.
Right.
But I did come out hyper, you know, they didn't know, you know, they didn't know what to do for it. They didn't know how to direct it then, you know. And so
right.
That was the only thing that they knew back then. See? But, you know, that's one of the, I mean, this is what, you know, opening your life up allows, you know, people to see themselves. You know? Opening your life up allows people to see more of who you are, too. It doesn't have to be devastating or, you know, something to make you cry or anything like that. Because it
right.
I look back on this as a victory. It was a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
It bothers me. It doesn't bother me now. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
You know, it hurt me then, but it doesn't hurt me now. You know, I let it go a long time ago. But it was something that happened in my life that, you know, affected me. And all people need to know is that, you know, they're not by themselves. It takes courage beyond measure to allow yourself to open up, and because you always help someone. It's always something that you do for someone else. What is it about your life today that you've done to enhance somebody else's life other than your own?
Exactly.
We live in a situation now where people are good. You ready, T? Or you want to wait?
Oh, I'm always ready. It's on you.
Okay. Well, I was just saying, you know, people. It, you know, what the amazing thing about transparency, and you have to, you know, even in business, because, you know, I just recently, you know, right before our trip, I mean, you know, we were dealing with a guy that I really thought was on the up and up. I thought he was a straight up guy, but he wasn't. He wasn't straight up at all. And see, what you have to do is you have to be aware of people that got a good game. They talk a good game. They smile. You know, they they're better than smile, see. You know, they do things for you. You know? They'll go with you to the grocery store. They'll hang out with you. They'll talk about your dreams together. But see, the thing about it is, all along you knew that there was something about that individual that didn't settle well in your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we are spiritual beings having a human experience.
Exactly.
And so it's something that you feel, okay, before it actually goes down. But we don't pay attention to what we feel. Because
okay.
We get caught up in all of the other stuff, the hype. Instead of really looking into the heart of a person, what's on the inside? What type of substance does that person have?
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you shared secrets or things with a person that you thought was your friend, and the minute they get mad, boom, now they're telling your business? Because, see, then that tells you, well, you know, you don't want people to know your business. That's why I don't tell my business to nobody. Because, and, you know, I mean, you don't have to tell people everything. I mean, really, you don't. You don't have to, and I'm not saying that that doesn't have to be a part of your transparency.
Right.
But what I'm saying is the core of who you are as a human being, you know, there's certain things that they should know about you, and there's certain things, it's a certain confidence that you should have with people that you come in contact with, and it should be on a level playing ground, you know? It should be somewhere where you can say, you know what, look, I trust this person. You know, because that's your character. That's their character, rather. Integrity. And whenever it's something that you have that you want to do, right, people are so afraid of telling their dreams or saying that it's something that they want to do. And I think that, Tammy, you could say this by with your, you know, with the book thing. You know, it's amazing how people that are behind you at the beginning, but were all those people, did they stick with you? I mean, you know, as the, you know, did it seem like people started falling off as the book started coming into fruition? Or,
you know,
Yeah,
I think that people, as long as it's a thought, you know, people will get behind you. Oh, girl, I can't wait. You get your book out. I'm going to buy it. And I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do that. But the minute you make your dream come to fruition, you have a whole lot of people dropping off. You have a whole lot of people backpedaling. You have a whole lot of people hating, you know. And that's just part of life. You know what I mean? You just deal with it and, you know, the best you can. And still, I don't think that no one can steal what God has for me. No one can steal what God has for you. No one can steal what God has for Lady T. You know what I mean? This is what God has for us. And so, therefore, I just try not to worry about that so much, but it's going to happen. That's just what it is.
Yeah.
You know, people just, they're just that way. You know? They're just that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, my thing is, and which is, that is so true that, you know, people just, I mean, that's human, that's what human beings do. They, you know, they fall off. But what about, and this is my dream, and this is my hope for people, what if there's a way that I could do something that would allow them to understand that what I did or what I'm doing, guess what? You can do it too.
Right.
See,
you know,
I think
people are intimidated by other people's success. I just think they are.
Right. I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
You know, because most of the time, it's not that the person, those people don't have the potential. It's not that they don't have the potential. It's not that they're not, you know. And you know what I've learned, and this is the truth. When you're genuinely happy for other people's success, guess what? Those things that you desire, I mean, genuinely, because I get excited when I see people do things that are big. I'm telling the truth. I really do. I get excited.
Right.
I get excited. I don't care who they are. But I found out when you, and especially when you get underneath the umbrella of a visionary. I put something on Facebook about visionaries. They not only, you know, they not only see the impossible, but they understand that it must be done, and there's a sense of urgency that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is, when you are moving in such a way, right, you're making others around you accountable. Now they can't be mediocre. Mediocrity, it becomes, you know, because, see, everybody's in the comfort zone because ain't nobody doing nothing. Ain't nobody, you know, pushing themselves. Ain't nobody trying to discover things about themselves or, you know, put themselves through any pressure to get better, you know, or to develop, to grow. And so what I find that, you know, people, when you're focused, it's a certain amount of persistence, you know, that has to take place. You know, firm, obstinate, continuance in a course of action in spite of the difficulty or opposition.
And
it is the quality that allows someone to continue doing something even though it is difficult or opposed by others.
Right.
And that's what you did. And that's what we're doing. And when we do this together, you know, when people understand the importance of, when you see somebody on fire, when you see somebody trying, learn something from that person.
Mm-hmm.
Link up with that person. We're in the times now where we ain't got time to be hating.
Right.
I know. It's silly.
But
this is what we do every day. No matter where we are in the show, we stop at this time and we give T, Lady T, the illustrious Lady T, her tea time. And what she does is she says what she says. Huh?
I said, all right now, that's good.
Yeah, she says what she says and with no rebuttal or no discussion. So take it away, T.
Okay, this is a poem I found. I thought it was really interesting. It's called If a Man Wants You. If a man wants you, nothing can keep him away. If he doesn't want you, nothing can make him stay. Stop making excuses for a man and his behavior. Allow your intuition or spirit to save you from the heartache. Stop trying to change yourself for a relationship that's not meant to be. Slower is better. Never live your life for a man before you find what makes you truly happy within self. If a relationship ends because the man was not treating you as you deserve, then heck no, y'all don't need to be friends. A friend wouldn't mistreat a friend, so don't settle. If you feel like he's stringing you along, then, you know, hey, you know, he probably is. Don't stray or don't stay because you think things will get better, because you'll be mad at yourself 1 year later sitting there saying, hey, what the heck, when things are not any better. You're in the same position. The only person you can control in a relationship is you. Avoid, you know, you've been through a bunch of men with children. Try and stay with one consistent. Don't go around and around and around. He didn't marry them when he got into them pregnant.
Okay. And that. I guess she dropped. Ooh. Okay. We don't even talk about it. We just jump back right on in. I'm sure she'll call back in. I don't know. That was weird. That's blog talk, huh?
I like to talk about transparency, though. That's a good subject.
What now? I'm sorry.
We were talking about earlier about transparency.
Yeah. Well, we jump right back in. You know, I was saying that the persistence that it takes to stay with something, to hold on to it, to be persistent enough to believe in it when everybody else says, oh, he's going to fail or she's going to fail.
Right.
I think it's a source of motivation. And I'm going to tell you something about what the Internet has done, the beautiful thing that the Internet has done. We know that the Internet has done a lot of things on the negative end. But the beautiful thing that the Internet has done, it has allowed you to have friends from all over the world.
Right.
So if your regular friends don't support you, you got a whole nother set of friends. If somebody deletes you, who cares? I mean, sometimes it happens, and sometimes you miss a good friend, I guess, but they had their reasons. I've been deleted before, you know. I've been, you know, but you know, it's just, it shouldn't stop your progress, you know. And
nothing,
where does your motivation come from?
Right.
You know, because it has to do with your purpose. And I think, you know what, I think a lot of people that, you know, it's about the purpose. They don't know their purpose. Because if they knew their purpose, they wouldn't have time to be envious. And I say
Amen.
Envy is the enemy of me.
Amen.
Envy
That's
is
true.
Birthed through iniquity. It's on the inside. It's stealthy. You see?
Mm-hmm.
But see, you can't see who you are with that covering up. It's like a blanket. It doesn't allow you to see who you are.
And how can you repair what you say?
Hello? Yeah, I'm good. I just, you know, because
okay.
It was an echo. You know, I mean, that's something that, you know, when you are, you know, I, like, since I've been working for the JKN, for example, I really don't have time for frivolous activity or people that are, you know, being stupid. I mean, in life,
right.
You know, I don't have time to even play games because,
right.
You know what, I'm always having to get ready for the next show. And I'm driven by this.
Right.
I never knew and I never thought this would be something that I would ever do in my life. Ever. But I enjoy it.
And you're quite good
I'm
at it.
Driven. Huh? Go ahead.
I said quite good at it as well.
Yes, most definitely.
Well, thank you. I mean, but, you know, me and T, I mean, you know, we constantly have to, you know, come up with something that people want to talk about or people want to hear, you know. And it's something that's interesting, something, you know, we don't know if it's interesting or not. And it's not like I got these degrees all behind my name. I'm just a guy,
right.
And she's just a girl, a lady, a man, that just wants to allow people to, you know, have some happiness, a smile.
Exactly.
Give them an idea, you know, because we're constantly relating to one another. How can I be a better person? For me first,
mm-hmm.
You know, we say we love ourselves, but do we really? When we hold grudges,
right,
and we hold on to things,
mm-hmm.
You know,
and we say we let them go when we don't let them go.
Right. You know, we have to learn to release things. Because at the end of the day, you're by yourself. You know, and, you know, people click up and they clack up, you know, they get together and, you know, they get we're on this side and you're over there, right? And I guarantee you,
right.
They're all looking at each other, standing in the same place, waiting for somebody to say go. And I'm not saying that you don't, you know, you can't do, you know, wonderful things with numbers. We have a caller. That's good. 912-282. Welcome to the Glass House. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, my name is Michelle. I'm calling from Waycross, Georgia. I am a friend of Penny.
Hey.
Hi.
Yes.
That's my girlfriend, Michelle.
Wow.
I'm glad you called. I'm happy you called. She told me to call, so I called. I was listening in when
hey.
I died one time. My phone died one time, so I got right back in. I'm doing great.
Glad you called.
I'm glad I called, too. And Tammy is awesome. You know, she's inspired me a lot. The whole free yourself movement. Yes, sir.
How close are you guys? How long have you guys known each other?
This is funny. We grew up in the same hometown, and actually we met each other through a mutual friend maybe, what, 2 or 3 years ago?
2011. Mm-hmm.
In 2011, officially met each other, and she was actually a little closer to the mutual friend as well as I. And we ended up there were some quirks in that relationship for both of us, and we kind of held each other up and became closer through that relationship. So it's funny how it happened, but that's how we became close. And, you know, the support we gave to one another through that ordeal was just, it was awesome. It just took me to different heights. She's inspired me to think, not only to think, to move on my thoughts, you know, to write as well, you know. I am in the process now of writing a fictional piece to that is going to be a part of the Free Yourself series. And it's based on one of the hypothetical stories that she gives in one of the scenarios she gives in her book, the first edition of Free Yourself. So it's been great.
Wow.
And it's just incorporating without revealing, like, some of my life's experience, you know, because it just as she has, I've been through the ringer. I really been through the ringer, you know.
I'm telling you, every time you think your story is bad, you have to listen to somebody else's, because Michelle has a testimony for you, boy.
I was on drugs for 15 years and abusive relationship after abusive relationship. We were meant to be together, you know, as friends.
Wow.
You know,
let me ask you this. And then you can keep your rhythm, because I like what you're saying. Okay, how much do you trust her? Do you trust her, like, with your life?
Yeah.
That's big.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, because
that's really big. That's big.
Because it's the reason I asked that question, because when you there's no obstacle that you and her cannot overcome as a team.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Michelle and I, you know, I don't know if you saw the event that I gave last month for my hometown. We did a fashion show and a book signing there, and Michelle just has been my right-hand person. I mean, she's, you know, we didn't start out being as close as we are now, but I really love this girl to death, you know, because her drive, I don't think that I've really met anybody as driven as myself until I met her. You know, and regardless of everything that she's gone through, her drive is just incredible. She's impeccably smart, intelligent. That draws me to her, you know, and I don't feel any hate or malice in her heart. You know what I mean? Like, I think we love each other unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have an event coming up in October. Funny that she mentioned about being abused. We've both been in physically abusive and sexually abusive relationships. We're doing an event in October that's going to benefit a shelter called the Magnolia House Shelter for the Abused. So we're excited about that because, you know, we're going to be able to give back to the community and definitely give back to a charity that's close to and near and dear to both my heart and her heart. So
that's
powerful.
And
I think in all of it, the biggest thing is that we can understand. You know, the Free Yourself movement is one thing, but the entrapment is another. You know, I don't think I could take Free Yourself from somebody that, you know, hadn't been through anything. You know, so both of us have been entrapped by different things, you know, and my biggest one were drugs and relationships, you know, bad relationships, bad choices of men, and overcoming that and moving on past it. And, you know, I hear people say, from the other side, how can a woman do this and how can they do this? And, you know, you don't know a person's story. And me going through things like that and being able to live with a purpose now, you know, I believe God saved me because I could have been dead. You know, either one of us easily could have been dead, you know, especially the life I was living. You know, and I just feel like there's a purpose for that. You know, God saved me for a purpose.
Absolutely.
And it wanted to sit down.
Absolutely.
You know, like you said,
absolutely.
The bottom line is the devil's workshop, you know.
Okay.
So,
you know,
I don't think.
Yeah, you know, this is one thing I know about women. You know, although you may not be physically as strong as us men, but this is what I have learned, you know, just by being around women, strong women. Y'all can raise money. You can organize. You can get people to buy into whatever it is that you want to buy into. My grandmother used to sell dinners on Saturday to raise money for the missionary department on Sunday. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And work. I mean, and she'd have all of her homies with nobody under 70 helping over at the house, cooking greens, fried chicken, macaroni and cheese, you know, and all the other stuff, and they go to these different shops and they raise money. I mean, it's, women are amazing to me, you know, of what you go through. We had a lady on here last week, T. You remember? She, a doctor. She was a
all
doctor,
right.
Neuropathy.
Okay.
Yeah, she you know was talking about the you know what women carry on their shoulders. You know, they're the caregivers in the house. They everything's on their shoulders.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
right.
They keep the men straight, you know, but they don't take care of themselves, you know, a lot of times. But she was, you know, talking about how, you know, that can change. But I know that the strength of women, especially our black women, you know, it's nothing that you can't accomplish. And so what I was saying was that which is likened to itself attracts itself. Find someone that is like you, you embrace it. Or if it's a characteristic in their personality that you see, that you recognize, it may be some other things in there that you don't really understand and that you don't, you know, they're kind of confused. But you find that one spot, that one place, and attach yourself to that. And you'll be amazed at the things that you can accomplish. And so, and that doesn't mean that you're going to get along all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have some differences of opinion, but it's no outbreaker. There has to be, it has to be something there that you guys that you hold on to, that you believe in, and I see that. I see two young ladies that have dealt with some of the same similar situations that aren't they're unafraid. They have perseverance, they don't mind, you know. They expect opposition, but they're not discouraged by the opposition because they're motivated by their purpose.
And you know, it's amazing.
Right.
I'm sorry. It's amazing what women, not just women, but especially women, because I am a woman, Lady T is a woman, Michelle as well, and all the other ladies of system, but people in general, it's amazing what we could do when we empower each other, when we use stepping stones to build each other up instead of a wrecking ball to tear each other down.
Exactly. That's what I be saying all the time. Amen.
And you know, you got to think of it this way. You got to think of it this way too. What am I gaining by disliking a person for what they're doing? How does that make me better? And how do I get closer to what it is that I really desire in my life?
Right.
Especially if I'm in proximity of that same individual that's probably doing, you know, something similar to what I'm doing. But what is my gain if everything that I say is negative about what's happening or what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
or if everything that I do is not trying to promote forward progress?
Mm-hmm.
What am I getting mm-hmm. out of that?
Right.
Am I getting, you know, an applause for those who want to live in mediocrity?
Mm-hmm.
Am I, you know, getting pats on the back for those who, you know, are not accountable for, you know, that don't want to be accountable for, you know, moving forward? there must be an urgency to get it done.
And, you
because
know, I want to say something. I'm sorry,
go ahead.
I had to throw this out there because I don't know when they're going to be on the show. It's interesting that we're talking about, like, women's empowerment and this type of thing. I'm on this. I got a message today on Facebook from a guy that said, you know, I just want to let you know that I think you're beautiful, but I'm going to tell you that I'm in a relationship. But I just wanted to let you know that, you know, but I really want to get to know you and this, that, and third. And he gave me this whole spiel. And I said back to him, I said, you know what? I said, I don't step on other women's toes for one thing. I said, I believe that if you're with this woman, she deserves you to be loyal, and she deserves me not to interfere with that. I said, I respect relationships because I would expect somebody to respect mine.
Right.
So you're blocked.
Right.
You know, but it's just the way that we should look at that. Women, we have to stand our ground when it comes to that because we can.
Right.
That's the only way we can empower each other. You know what I mean? If I would have just accepted his invitation, imagine how many more women he's probably sent that to and they accepted his invitation. Why would I lower myself respect to say, you're already telling me that you're with someone. Not only am I disrespecting myself, I'm disrespecting another woman. No.
Mm-hmm.
No can. So I just think we need to continue to empower each other, you know, and not step on other women's toes, just try to build each other up. That's what we need to do. We need to constantly build each other up.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's important. The benefits are so much better, I mean, when you spend your time, you know, helping and empowering another person,
and,
you know. If somebody's having a problem, don't sit there and watch them, you know. If it's something that you can do, try. You know?
Yeah.
Especially if you're on the same team. Especially if it's something that you both do. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
We all could be better if
you know,
try.
Right. I mean, you know, and a part of it is allowing people to know who you are. I mean, something of the aspect of your character. You know,
and for a long time, excuse me, I'm sorry, but for a long time, you know, I never could see me on the other side of life. You know what I'm saying? You know, and now that I am, I have to bring that other side of the fence I was on. I got to bring it with me because it may be a bad part of my past or a rough patch in my life, but I'm not here for me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not, you know, that whole purpose thing. I'm not living for me anymore. I'm living for somebody else. You know, I have to, that selflessness where you say that okay, it doesn't matter about what I feel about this. This is who I am. This is where I came from. Because I don't know, you know, I don't believe in coincidence, luck, that stuff right there. You know what I'm saying? I think that God put everybody in my path for a reason. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times I don't meet strangers. I talk, you know what I'm saying? And some people I may reveal a lot to, some people I don't.
Meet strangers.
Sometimes, you know that there's that person that needs to know who you are. You know what I'm saying? I can't be who I am today. I can't be who I am today without being who I was.
Right.
So,
well,
you know, that's
what it is. See, you made that point. That was just right because, you know, people have to see what you used to be like.
Yes.
And what it is people don't – the problem that people have is they want to take their past and kick it to the curb. And I don't care how nasty it was, you have to embrace your past and bring it with you. It's not a weight. It's a badge of honor. You know?
Exactly.
It's a badge of honor. If this is saying this, hey, look, this is what I went through, and this is a part of who I am. But look at me now. Look what I've gone through, and guess what? If you've gone through that, you can make it too. It's not too late. And so
never.
I just really, I mean, this is something that really, really we have to, because we can work together. And we can, because these are the times when we can't, nobody need to be hating on nobody. Really. It ain't even a black or white thing no more. You know, it's not racial.
Nah.
It's about people and human beings. It's about humanity. And so we have to start embracing humanity. I'm going to play this song, and we'll be right back. Don't go nowhere. You're with us in the Glass House. Thank you.
Harry.
Yeah. What I was going to say. I wanted to say, you know, you hear me. Hello?
Dreams still come true. 'Cause girl, I gotta tell you the truth. I got it bad for you, baby. I'm falling so hard that I'm dreaming too. I know you've been hurt before. You want a love that you're insecure. Come on, explore with me. But love's supposed to be when you're happy and free.
Trust in your pretty heart. Trust in the way you feel. Trust in the love we have, baby, 'cause this time love is for real.
Being with you has really made me see that you're bringing out the best in me. I really need you, baby. Put your hand in mine and let love faithfully. But there's just one thing I can't ignore. I'm falling for you, baby, more and more. Give all your love to me and open up your heart. Take this journey with me.
Trust in your pretty heart.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Trust in the way you feel.
So
trust in the love we have, baby, 'cause this time love is for real.
Sinclair, again, with the song Stay. Hey, we want to thank you for being here tonight with us in the Glass House. You know, sometimes, and T knows this, sometimes our shows are just so different, you know.
Right,
and
absolutely.
They make it different, but, you know, they go in the direction that they go in. And we got to get that thing out for Lynn. We're raising money for Lynn. We got to get that thing out, okay? I couldn't find it, but I got to find a way to find it. Our general manager, you know, he's going to be on TV, and we're raising money for him. And he's a wonderful person. We're going to get it down. We're going to get it right next week. I know for sure.
Right.
Because I want to share it with our listeners about Lynn
Collins
Jr. and his accomplishments, and we want to be able to support him ourselves through this network. So once again, on behalf of myself and the Lady T. Spence, we want to thank you for being in the Glass House. And remember, this is your house. Take care.
Peace.